Welcome to the Retention Institute's podcast series where we'll discuss reducing costly employee turnover. With us is Dick Finnegan, president of Finnegan McKenzie, the retention firm, and developer of the Retention Institute, which offers executives a comprehensive program in employee retention leading to certification as a Certified Employee Retention Professional, or CERP. The program enables companies to measure the business impact and reduce the cost associated with employee turnover. Welcome, Dick.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me today. Let's start off by asking you this question. With the economy the way it is today, it would seem that retention should be a fairly low concern for companies. However, I've read some data recently to the contrary. Can you share with us about what you're seeing in the market today?
You know, that is a great point, Kevin, because I think all of us know at least one manager who has said nobody is foolish enough to quit their job in these times because the economy is so bad. But there is data that says hiring workers who stay is as important today as ever. And let me give you just a sampling. Many studies tell us that workers have pent-up frustrations that will cause them to look for other jobs when the economy improves, and this has always been the pattern after recessions, the turnover goes up. But a study conducted during the high tide of the recession, when the recession was at its worst point, indicated that retention has always been important for those at the top. Robert Half International asked executives of the top 1,000 U.S. companies, the top 1,000, for their most important staffing concern, and their top response was employee retention. Most importantly, Kevin, this study was conducted in October of 2008, which was the high time for media frenzy about the economy, about bailouts, and about layoffs. But other data tell us that those who work never bought into the notion of unlucky to have a job. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics tracks how many workers voluntarily quit their jobs, not get fired or get laid off, but left on their own. And while we would all expect the number of quitters to drop during the recession, the difference in the number of quitters between the high time of 2007 and recession-driven 2008 was just 11%. So your chance of losing a good worker during the recession was a full 89% as strong as it was when times were good. And there are other reports that indicate that only good employees are quitting. If anyone fears getting another job in this economy, it's the mediocre performers who you probably wish would quit.
No, exactly. That's really fascinating and interesting statistics. I think a lot of employers out there aren't completely familiar with. So, but let's segue then into the vendor side of this. And there's so many vendors selling a variety of selection tools today. Why can't companies just purchase a way to hire employees who stay?
You know, Kevin, that's our fantasy solution to hiring workers who stay, is to get a test. You know, how many times have we said, well, just get a test? But, you know, all of these hiring vendors have found that the abracadabra solution to measuring that stay personality, that they can't find it. And the reason they can't find it is this. All the hiring tools, whether they're assessments or interviews or simulations or whatever they are, should answer three questions. Can they do it? Will they do it? And will they stay? And vendors have done a great job creating products that measure the can part and a pretty good job for the will part. But the reason they can't design the perfect stay tool is because there are too many variables. A broad study by the University of Florida concluded that there's no such thing as a stay personality. Or to say that another way, it's not about is somebody a stayer or a leaver. Instead, it's how they mesh with various variables in the company. And we know from other data that employees decide really early, often in the first 30 days, how long they're going to stay based on three things: relationship with managers, relationships with peers, and how much they like their jobs. So building any kind of an assessment or a test for stayability would require that you have one for each supervisor, one for each peer team, and one for each set of duties. So imagine how many variables there are just in job duties with such a wide range of tasks and schedules and training and so on. So confronted with these complexities, vendors haven't succeeded so far in building the perfect test for employee retention, and frankly, I don't think they will. I don't think they can, and it's not their fault. It's just too complicated.
No, that makes sense, definitely. Yeah, that really good points there, Dick. Lastly, what tips can you give companies to hire for stability and hire employees that will stay then?
You know, Kevin, that is the right question, and taking a really deep dive into various industry studies and academic studies tell us there really are ways to hire for stability, but they're not the ones that most people would think. here are three areas for consideration when hiring for stability. And the first is to expose candidates to all areas of your company so they can screen themselves out if they don't see a fit. Realistic job previews is the common term that does this, and most companies come up short because they failed to demonstrate the least attractive parts of the job. You know, their position is we want to sell you on the job versus scare you off if you're wrong for the job. I know a cable company that presents a video to potential installers that contains workers crawling through tight spaces in customers' attics. These actual employees are installing cables through the attic insulation, and the voiceover explains that in the summertime, these attics reach temperatures of 105 degrees, and I'm not kidding here, they go on to describe some of the bugs and other creatures they encounter, both living and dead. So there's no question, if you are interested in this job, you're saying, I'm willing to do the hardest parts of this job. Another way to hire workers who know what they're getting into is to use employee referrals. And there's so much data that tells us employee referrals don't always stay longer, but they're more likely to stay longer. And they stay longer for three reasons. The obvious one is referring employees won't embarrass themselves by sending a bad applicant. A second reason is the new employee usually starts with a friend at work, which is a good thing. But I think the most important thing is the referring employee has described the job in detail to the applicant, and the applicant says, okay, that job sounds right to me. Here's another way to hire employees who stay, and that is to hire older workers. The U.S. Department of Labor has confirmed that the older employees are when they start a job, the longer they stay. So hiring older workers is good, but the real message is that if you hire workers who are older than the ones you hire now, they're more likely to stay. So 20-somethings are more likely to stay than 18-year-olds, and 30-somethings are more likely to stay than 20-somethings, and so on. You know, it makes sense, Kevin, that employees who are older are more settled into what they like to do, they're settled into the schedules they can work, and as importantly, they have bills to pay. Young workers, on the other hand, are more interested in making money than the specifics of the work. And if they live at home, their only pressure to get and keep a job is mom, and that's not enough. And here's a third way. A third way is to make those who make hiring decisions accountable for hiring workers who stay. So think about this. In many companies, HR either screens new hires or makes actual hiring decisions, and their impulse priority is to fill jobs so managers don't complain. So if we start tracking how many of the applicants who are referred or hired by HR stay for 90, 180, 360 days, and so on, we'll change the HR hirers' priorities and make them more retention-focused. And one last thought here. The group that really gets off easy on retention are hiring vendors. Whether you use them to refer candidates or for assessments, they deserve your really close scrutiny too. Because it's fair to ask vendors to accept a performance standard for early retention such that a certain percent stay, even for the first 30 or 40 days. And they'll tell you, hey, it's about managers, it's about something else. But they should have skin in the game for some number of days early. And the last thought I'll leave you with is, if you look carefully at a hiring vendor's contracts, oftentimes they are paid based on the hire or based on the click. So they actually make more money from you when people quit rather than less. So they're a good place to look to get some retention accountability.
Yeah, those are all excellent points, Dick, that companies should be looking at today. And I'll just make a quick comment on the fact that I know that there is definitely a growing workforce population of non-retiring folks, older folks, older than the 30- and 40-year-old generations as well. That's a growing contingent that a lot of companies are just starting to understand, and that they're a totally viable workforce for their organizations today. So thank you very much, Dick, for those comments. I think that they were excellent. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Look for more Retention Institute podcasts coming soon. And don't forget to check out the Retention Institute at www.retentioninstitute.com. Thank you, Dick.
You're welcome, Kevin. Take care.